Hello everyone. This is the translation of Jacques Peter Smith's message for Sunday 28th of June, which is entitled, You Will Be Hated by Everyone Because of My Name. The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 10 verses 24 to 42, and I'm reading from the New International Version. As I announced to you last week, today I suggest that we continue our meditation on Jesus' words spoken to the 12 disciples before he sends them out on a mission. Last week we focused on the beginning of the discourse. Now let's meditate on the end. You will hear it, but Jesus radically changes the tone and scale in this second part, so much so that we rarely wonder if it is still just for the 12 or if it is not also for every Christian of all time. In this second part, there is something that goes beyond the simple sending out of the 12 on a mission. So let's read Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 42. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of God. I showed last week that the sending of the 12 disciples out on mission consisted in causing men to experience the benefits of receiving the 12 at their homes, because to receive them is to receive the shepherd, that is to say, the Father. But Jesus warns the 12 that they will encounter resistance and that they will not always be well received. For Jesus, they will not be well received because of two major factors of resistance. The first comes from the presence of a foreign inhabitant in the human being that prevents that person from desiring God, from desiring others. This foreign inhabitant hinders, prevents all desire towards God. In the text, Jesus names these undesirable inhabitants as unclean spirits, diseases, infirmities. And Jesus orders the 12 to order these foreign inhabitants to leave, and for this he gives them authority over unclean spirits to drive them away to cure any illness and any infirmity. This is what we saw last week. But there is a second form of resistance which prevents people from receiving the 12. This is what Jesus develops in the second part of his discourse. We can say that this second form or resistance is the hardness of the heart of man, his search for power, his fundamental refusal to relate to God and to others. There are no foreign inhabitants who obstruct, who block. As in the first case, it is the heart which is ill-disposed. And Jesus announces to the 12 that going from city to city they will deal with these people and warns them that they will be mistreated by them. Here is what he said to them in verse 22. You will be hated by everyone because of my name. Where are these people coming from who are going to give opposition to the 12? Jesus tells us in the part that we have not read, they come from three well-identified places, which are all three places of power. These are politics, religion, and family. The part of the text that you have just heard constitutes a series of recommendations from Jesus for the 12, now that they know that they will meet with opposition in these three places of power that are politics, religion, and family. I'm going to work this morning to extract from these recommendations several reasons which explain why these three powers feel so much hatred towards those who believe in the name of Jesus. What threats represent the name of Jesus for these three powers? The first threat is the end of being able to hide. In verse 26, so do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that would not be disclosed, or hidden that would not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. I think it is not difficult to admit that power in the world is built largely through secrecy. You just have to see the importance of information today. In the world, the more I know what others don't know, the more power I have over them. To keep power, you have to employ secrecy. For those who live by the name, it is a question of doing exactly the opposite. It is necessary to proclaim that which was received in secret. You must proclaim on the rooftops what Jesus said in the darkness or in your ear. On the one hand, by secrecy, insider circles are formed. On the other, by the proclamation of that which is secret, a scattered people is formed, of those who have only one thing in common, the name of the Lord. Because of the name of Jesus, secrecy has lost its power. The second threat is the end of the power of money. In verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And verses 30 and 31, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. In relation to its market value, two sparrows are worth one penny. In the world, two are worth one penny because two are worthless. For the Father, two continue to be worth two. There is no possible confusion of the reasoning that they are not worth much. Not one of the two sparrows falls without the will of your Father. Jesus said, for those who live by the name, it is not because one is poor that one does not count. In the kingdom of the Father, everything is distinguished, counted, everything is important. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. In the Father's kingdom, it is no longer money that fixes the value of things and people. In the Father's kingdom, money has lost its power. The third threat is the end of the power of blood. In verses 34 and 35, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The family is a strong place of power, standardization and capture. Look at how difficult it is for people from low-income families to succeed socially, achieve higher education, become interested in culture. Even in France, when our education system is rather inclusive, it is difficult. It was not that long ago that children were doing their parents' jobs. These are just examples of how much we are governed by our birth, so blood conditions the rest of our lives. Jesus announces that this is not inevitable because he did not come to bring peace but the sword. The sword divides, slices, cuts, separates. Jesus separates where the blood tie unites too much, sometimes in an unhealthy way. For Jesus, it is about separating every human from his family so that he is taken for what he is and not for the family to which he belongs. Jesus calls every person to him for a unique life of his own, free from family influences. The blood has lost its power. You will notice that Jesus does not oppose peace to war. He does not say, I did not come to bring peace, but war. It is not for Jesus to bring destruction to families, because war is destruction. It is only a matter of giving the person the capacity to go towards that which he is really free from his birthplace. The fourth threat is the end of self-centeredness. In verses 41 and 42, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Jesus shows the 12 that a person is enriched by receiving another person. It is not a question of receiving him by imposing himself on that other one, but of receiving him so that he imposes himself on us. The reward received will be at the level of what one would have liked to receive from the other. Verse 41, whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. It's about receiving the other person as he is and receiving a reward at the level of what he is and not for what one is oneself. Receiving a righteous person makes us receive a righteous reward on the condition of receiving it from someone righteous. This is the end of self-centeredness. On the other hand, there is no additional reward for giving a glass of water to a little one. It is a reward that we will not lose. To give a glass of water is the minimum that one can do. It is to do the job of discipleship, nothing more. Receiving the other for what he is certainly more difficult to do than giving one of these little ones a glass of water. It's an additional reward because to receive the other person is to open up to the unexpected, to open up to what will follow. These are four serious threats to the powers that be, politics, religion and the family. We now understand better why these powers resent believers in the name of Jesus and mistreat them. These four threats have gone down in history and a lot of blood has been spilled, but one should not believe that these threats would be a counter power that Jesus would build on to take power over the world. Jesus does not seek to take power. He already has it. On the other hand, when he suggests to human beings to believe in his name, the powers are thrown into disarray because the name of Jesus undermines the foundations on which these powers were built: secrecy, money, family, and self-centeredness. My dear friends, let us therefore stick to the name that Jesus gives us, his own, because this name frees us from these three powers which close in on ourselves. To attach oneself to the name of Jesus is to go to God, but also to others, for our rejoicing. The text here calls it a reward. By his name, Jesus opens the doors of the kingdom of God to us. Alleluia. Amen.